Welcome back into the Cover 2 podcast. I'm in again in sort of a Billy Joel angry young man thing.
Yeah, I'm all about Billy Joel. I like what we've been doing here the last couple weeks. Now, before we go on, and we do have, you know,
other sports,
an abundance. Yeah, right.
Like,
we're not
going to
keep talking cycling because you know this show is like 90% cycling.
Yeah.
One of the greatest, most overlooked achievements in all of sports. You know how you see professional swimmers, and they look like Billy Corbin of the Smashing Pumpkins. They're just completely shaved. They have no hair.
Yeah, okay, I got you. I'm with you now.
And then you look at a picture of the greatest swimmer in the pre-Phelps era,
yeah.
Mark Spitz, and he's rocking just a mega stash, just a porn star style mustache.
So
he's fighting through that. He made the aggressive decision as a swimmer. He said, I'm going to take the next step. I'm going to be so good that I'm going to wear this thing on my face, this dead rat on my face that is counter-beneficial to my career, and I will overcome it to look good in the post-game photo op. That is fantastic.
I don't know, is
an American hero, if I've ever seen one.
Look, sometimes you gotta keep your mustache game strong. I don't
better stash
you.
Before and then we will move on.
Mustache game.
Better hang. Stash. Floyd Landis.
Spitz.
Mark Spitz.
Spitz.
Yeah, it's really Spitz.
Then I'm gonna say Eckersley though, atop them all.
The X, you know, because Eck accessorizes his well.
If it curls,
with the mullet.
If it curls, you're automatically tops in my opinion.
So you're talking Raleigh Fingers number one. Everybody else is mincemeat.
Yeah. If you get the full on handlebar. Respect, because that takes. Because now you're not just dedicating to growing a mustache, you're dedicating to looking like doubly awful.
You know
growing
who got
a mustache.
Away?
Because you wear a mustache, you know, like all right, I can't be around kids anymore,
right?
Because I have a mustache and it's not gonna look good. So
there's a perception
like,
issue
you,
going on,
right?
There.
But you just understand that. But if you go through that, if you power through that to full handlebar.
You're really making...
Like, respect, dude.
A one guy who got way... Who didn't get enough criticism for... Like, Eckersley had the fantastic mullet and stash combo.
Yeah.
He was getting the value meal out of that.
Yeah.
Randy Johnson did, too. Like, 10 years after it was acceptable thing.
Yeah.
He was sitting there in, like, 2005, 2006.
Yeah, I don't even like it when people are trying to be trendy. Like, Adam Morrison, take care of that, please.
Yeah, well, that's getting hipster. You're hipstering out.
Yeah, that's
Randy
not
Johnson
okay.
Randy Johnson did that because that's what Randy Johnson thought was good.
That's what
Randy said, when I look in the mirror, this is my best look.
Yeah, that's nobody's best look.
Right.
Ever. I think it's only acceptable to roll a mustache if you're a sheriff.
And you could
and
tell.
And, like, you can't even be a deputy. You have to be a sheriff.
Right, in, like, Iowa.
Yeah, like, you have to be, like, you have to have, like, you have to be the guy. The sheriff, then you get a mustache. Everybody else, shave it off, brother.
And you could tell, as soon as Randy Johnson came to the Yankees and he had to shave that off, you're like, this guy's out of his element. This guy does not belong.
That's where the wheels went off.
He's a good old boy. He lives in the burbs of Arizona. He has a heck of a time, and he rocks a stash.
Damn, man, it's that code, man. Yankees, let him grow it out.
It is.
Take Mattingly.
A gobstopper in the clubhouse ain't gonna kill you.
Where has this show gone? The NFL playoffs, Brick. Really great weekend last weekend. Two phenomenal games, a phenomenal performance by Colin Kaepernick. The Texans score in the first half, guys. I mean, you know, I said on our show on Sunday that I thought the Texans were going to be able to keep it close if they weathered the first couple minutes. They weathered the first couple minutes. They just didn't score. They just didn't they had plenty of opportunities to make that a game. I don't think they win regardless, but the Texans had a lot of opportunities to cover.
Right.
And it fell apart.
I think that there are two things that were proven true about the Texans that I had believed. I never really bought into the Texans this season. One was because you have Andre Johnson and then who?
Yeah.
And that's an issue because if you can neutralize Andre Johnson, and 2-3 years ago, you just couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now he's still a phenomenal player, but he's not
Yeah.
You know, there was a time in which he was literally the best wide receiver in football. That's no longer the case. The second thing is Matt Schaub ain't no Tom Brady. Matt Schaub ain't no Eli Manning. He's not a A-grade guy. He's really probably not a B-grade guy. He's a C-plus, B-minus.
Nah, see, I think I definitely think he's a B guy. It's just,
he's a game manager.
He's rough in the moment. No, I think he's more than a game manager. He just has bad. He's not great in the big game.
Well,
his record in like primetime games is poor. He didn't have a good game in the playoffs. I don't think he played that well against the Bengals either in their win.
See, I think
I still think he's a great quarterback. I mean,
He's a great game manager. And listen, I did just say to his credit that he only has one guy to throw the ball to.
Right.
But he also has Owen Daniels, and what you see in a Matt Schaub game is when they run the ball and he's told to make a couple good plays here
propel
the offense.
Well, that's what their offense is. They're not an offense. Like, there are a lot of offenses who can run and pass, but when they need to, they can just pass. I don't think the Texans can do that. They're reliant on, here's Arian Foster stretch left, here's Arian Foster stretch right, here's Arian Foster stretch. Nope. Bootleg. Andre Johnson 40 yards downfield.
Which is why twice when they went up against a Patriots team that can get ahead of you,
yeah,
they were incapable.
Yeah, and that's
of putting up points to to counter that.
And that's what it came back to for me is the Texans had opportunities early in that game. I mean, they come away with a field goal in the first possession. You get a great kick return inside the red zone. You jam that in for seven. It might be a different game. I don't think they win, but there's an opportunity there. I think, though, you set the Texans aside. What you have to take from that game is the Patriots, I think, look great. And sadly, there is, you know, there's no Eli Manning left to stop them.
Right.
This is, you know, the Patriots are Bane, Eli Manning is Batman, and this is the part of the movie where Batman's had his back broken.
And it
and he's just hanging out in Wayne Manor.
But Batman wins that at the end of the day.
I know, but there's that whole like middle period, like, you know, maybe two seasons from now they go up again in a Super Bowl and Batman wins again.
Now,
but
the issue,
Bane reigns for a little bit.
I think the biggest problem or the most concerning storyline as a Peyton Manning guy in the Tom Brady Peyton Manning battle over the years, if Peyton, obviously Peyton's already lost. If Tom Brady puts up an effort, you know, that if he wins another Super Bowl and he then stretches his Super Bowl lead, which is already 3-1, 5-2 in terms of Super Bowls made. Over Peyton Manning to 4-6, while Peyton has done nothing but lost his first round playoff match for the 8th time, it almost closes the book, at least for now, on that argument. You have to concede that Tom Brady, if not a better quarterback, certainly a more successful.
More successful, certainly. It's going to take me a while. It's going to take a lot for me to be able to say better, because I think that a lot of times, you know, Brady's had the benefit of a better team around him and a better system around him.
And a better coach.
And a better, yeah, right, that's part of that system. And Manning, my eye tells me when I watch the game that Peyton Manning's the best quarterback I've ever seen in my life. My eyes tell me, just watching and what, you know, looking at what he does there and the way he just moves in the pocket, just everything about his game, my eyes tell me that's the best I've ever
seen. Here's my
and
question.
Admittedly, I'm young like you, so, you know, I didn't get to watch a lot of Montana's career or even Marino's career.
He does so much, but when you look at, you know, you look at a Bill Parcells, you look at an Andy Reid, you look at guys like this, and you say great coach, you know, but they go for the total control thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they get the total control, and they have success, a lot of success, but they don't win the Super Bowls that they won, you know, that they won when they were out there just focusing on the X's and O's.
Yeah.
And you almost say, you know, Peyton maybe be a little bit less of the de facto offensive coordinator.
I don't know about that.
Maybe you're doing a little bit too much. Maybe you're trying to be the coach and the general manager and the partial owner and the best player on the team. How about you just focus on completing the passes, obviously doing your pre-snaps to a degree, but he literally is, more than any quarterback in the history of the game,
that's the
offensive coordinator of that
team. I honestly don't think it's a problem. Because it's work. His offenses are always great.
It's worked to win a Super Bowl championship.
Yeah, but there are other issues. Tom Brady
does a lot of checkdowns. He doesn't do as many. He does checkdowns within a system.
Though, as we talked about, there's more around Brady, right? The quarterback, as much as we want to make quarterback the thing, quarterback does not exist in a vacuum.
Shane Vereen is a weapon that Peyton Manning doesn't have.
No, I didn't say weapons. I said there's more around him in terms of the team. There's more of a team around him, especially when he was winning those three Super Bowls when they were a defend and run the ball
if you take the quarterback off of the New England Patriots and off of the Denver Broncos and look at that, the 52-man roster without the quarterback there, the Denver Broncos have a better team.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying, you know, Tom Brady's career hasn't existed. Peyton Manning's career hasn't existed in a vacuum. We all want to put quarterback in. Well, Tony Romo hasn't won enough playoff games, so he's terrible. Well, there's more to the Cowboys than Tony Romo. There's more to these teams. You took, and this is a cliche, and I don't even agree with it that much, but I'm going to say it. You took Tom Brady off the Patriots. Matt Castle goes 11-5 because of the team that's already around him, right? You take Peyton Manning off the Colts. That team goes 2-14.
Yeah, okay, depending on the season. You're also talking
about... I understand.
About,
I'm just saying that's
a couple
that's an
seasons
example
where you had
at.
Bob Sanders, the best defensive player in the league. Now, obviously, he started
Bob
averaging
Has Bob Sanders played 16 games ever?
I think for a season or two. He won the Defensive Player of the Year. Dwight Freeney is a Hall of Famer. Robert Mathis is a great player. Marvin Harrison is a Hall of Famer. Edgerrin James is a borderline Hall of Famer. Reggie Wayne is a Hall of Famer. These guys aren't garbage. You're talking Dallas Clark.
I'm not saying they're garbage.
Dallas Clark, a phenomenal player. Joey Addai, not so much.
I'm not saying Dallas Clark's a phenomenal player.
Dallas Clark was a great player.
Dallas Clark was a great player because Peyton Manning made him a great player.
Brandon Stokley, very good player.
You're hurting yourself.
Okay, no. You know what? Because I'm going to take that argument because I hear that argument all the time, and I've made that argument countless times. That, well, Brandon Stokley is nothing without Peyton Manning.
You're arguing against yourself. Five minutes ago, you said, Tom Brady has a better coach and organization and everything else, and now you're arguing against it.
I said he has a better coach. I didn't say an organization. That was a very well-run organization. They have great guys. And the Brandon Stokley's nobody argument, you know, he's nobody without Peyton Manning argument. Dallas Clark. The same was said about Pierre Garçon, and he had himself a fantastic year for the Washington Redskins.
Pierre Garçon had himself an okay year for the time he was in the game.
Okay,
let's not forget he missed half the season.
With injury.
When he was on the field
with a rookie quarterback, he was a top line. He was just as good with the Colts.
But let's not say, well, Pierre Garçon is a Pro Bowler based on what he did this year. He looked good in the games he played. It's a little bit of a small sample size to say that this is what it is. And by the way, he's playing with the guy that you've talked about as being like
still a rookie
RG3.
Quarterback. Still a rookie quarterback.
So
I said it like a ghost.
Let's use it. Yes, you did. It was weird. I didn't like it then. I don't like it now.
His career might be ghost now. Sadly.
We'll come back. We'll take a sec. We'll come back. We'll talk about the other Sunday game real quick, and then we'll look briefly ahead at the AFC and NFC championship games this week. Let's cover two.